Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my trusty co-host, Cody Thompson. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great. This one you get to say, you don't have to say almost always regular co-host, because I didn't miss this podcast, only the At the Table one, right?
That's right. That's right.
Perfect.
And we've got our adult supervision, Tracy Noble. How you doing, Trace?
I am fantastic.
Matt, thumbs up, thumbs down? Two thumbs up.
Wow.
All right. So, Cody, what are we talking about today on the Working Genius Podcast?
The title is Slow to Judge and Quick to Understand.
That's right. Slow to judge and quick to understand. And if you've ever read the Bible or been to church, you know, you always hear this, don't judge. Do not judge others. Judge not. And it's such an important thing. And we think, yeah, I don't want to be judgmental. And then it's like, how do I not do that? And of course, there's lots of ways to go about that. But a great way to stop judging people is to understand them. St. Francis of Assisi once said, you know, seek to understand people more than to be understood. And the more you understand somebody, the less likely you are to be unfair in making a judgment, which could hurt them and you and the organization. So we want to talk about this today. Now, we've addressed this topic before a few times. Our sixth episode, we said, stop feeling guilty at work. And our 22nd episode, we talked about the cure for team toxicity. And we even did a one called Don't Should on Yourself. But the reason why we're covering this again is because we just keep getting reminded about how important this is and how much it can help any team, any organization, any family. Because working genius, probably because it's so related to our tasks and our abilities and our gifts, can really allow us to love people more, understand people better, and avoid doing hurtful things that we think are helpful. And So it's worth repeating this today, and that's what we're here to talk about with some new stories and anecdotes.
That's right. And Pat, I do think it bears repeating, and mostly I think some of these episodes we actually like, hey, we need to talk about this because we keep slipping on this ourselves. Like I find myself very regularly doing the very thing that we're imploring people not to do, which is we can be really quick to judge, and Working Genius gives us handles and a way of understanding people's wirings that allows us to have more grace, more understanding that leads to better outcomes. So this is personally better outcomes, relationally better outcomes, and at work, like more, like Tracy, you said, this is both has emotional and like practical, tangible benefits. This is not theory, right?
Mm-hmm. It makes us more productive as employees. I mean, we get more done, it's way more fun. So it's emotionally, it makes sense, and practically for our organizations.
Yeah, and we're not being lazy here, like, oh, we couldn't think of another thing to talk about. It's just today in our office, we were like, and I've been really reminded recently about how critical it is when I finally understand somebody's working genius. And the thing is, it's not just one of their letters, it's the combo.
Mm-hmm.
When I understand a person's combination, suddenly I go from thinking something bad and really understanding what their gifts are. And it helps me solve problems and address them and myself in a way that actually works rather than committing the fundamental attribution error.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Fundamental attribution is just that tendency we all have to attribute other people's behaviors that annoy us to their character. We make a character assessment. And then when we do something that other people find annoying, oftentimes we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes we don't even give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, though. We're not good at something and we judge ourselves, and that's a bad thing too. So that's what we want to talk about today. Now, let me start by saying, here are three of the attributions or the judgments we tend to make about people at work when we don't understand their working genius. I think we do it at home too. The first one is, wow, they don't care very much. They don't care enough about what we're doing. And when we make that attribution, it goes off in a wild direction. Yep, they just don't care. That's why this isn't going well. They don't care. The next one is, they're just not smart enough. They just don't get it. And of course, that's a terrible place to go when it's often not true at all. And the last one is, they just don't work hard enough. They're fundamentally lazy and they're just not trying. So they don't care enough. They're not smart enough and they're not working hard enough. And the truth is, if we understand how they're wired, we realize it's a natural tendency and it's something we need to understand rather than judge.
Those three that you laid out are really interesting, Pat. Let's just like make them very practical. Cause I, as you were saying that, I was like, okay, let me think of, so a person who, and whether it's they have a genius and they maybe overuse it or they use it in the wrong context, or they don't have it and you judge them for that. You could do it both ways. But for example, let's take someone who doesn't have the genius of invention, right? And you think, oh, we're all like trying to make work more fulfilling for people. And there's someone on our team who just doesn't come up with new ideas. They must not care about our mission.
Right. You know,
they must not like be able, they don't care enough to be able to come up with something new to help us solve or change the world of work. Right? That's one way to judge that person.
That happens a lot when that person lacks a disruptive genius. So they're responsive. So why aren't they forcing ideas out there? Why aren't they trying to come up with something new? They must not care. This is just not worth them stepping out of their comfort zone.
Or it could be like they don't have tenacity. They were like, oh, they didn't finish that project of how we're going to change the world of work. Oh, they don't care. And so you make that judgment about them not caring, or maybe they're not smart enough. You could do the very same thing. Like, oh, maybe they just don't get it. Or a person doesn't have invention. They're not, oh, you could judge based on that, that they can't be creative or they don't come up with new ideas. And, or what was the last one? It was that
they just don't work hard enough.
They don't work hard enough.
They don't care and they don't work hard enough seem to go together, but they're different. One is like, you're just not into what we're doing. The other is you're just lazy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And they're different. And then one's not smart enough. I'm going to tell you, as we talk about this, this is not easy because we came up with this model 2 years ago. And I think about previous to that, especially how often I did this, how often I either with one of my kids, because I didn't understand how they differed and what they were best at and what they didn't love, with my wife or with my friends or my colleagues, how often I would look at something and come to the wrong conclusion because I just didn't have any handles on understanding what their geniuses were and what their frustrations are. So it's kind of painful to look back and go, oh, I got that wrong.
Right. And you cannot, like I said, you can do it either because they lack a genius or they're using their genius, they have sort of overuse it or they use it out of context, like maybe in the wrong, like when a wonderer poses a question, you know, I have a family member who has wonder as a genius. And after we've already discerned through a bunch of ideas, they'll bring up a new question, a new thing for us to wrestle with. And it can be somewhat, you know, on the most generous scale, it's like, oh, that's interesting. On the least generous scale, it's very annoying when it happens. and so to be able to interact with that and say, okay, let me pause for a second. I know they have wonder. So here's the way I could approach that. It's like, this is their wiring. They're not doing that to annoy me. This is the way that they're wired. So how do I contextualize that in a way? And then you can, like when Tracy says we can make meaningful progress in relationships and conversations, one of the ways you do that is you say, hey, I know that you have wonder as a genius, and that's a gift. And we should lean into that. And oftentimes you're posing really important questions for our family to answer. But when you do it here, here, and here, and here afterwards, I think we need to find the right context for that because it can be annoying. But just understanding that, because the alternative is to judge and create resentment.
Right. And then when people dig in their heels, because what they essentially feel like they're being truly judged or rejected based on their character, when that is not an appropriate thing to do at all. Hey, we were talking about this just yesterday. Tracy, you and Matt and Karen were in a meeting. Tell us about how this played out.
Yeah, so we were in a content meeting yesterday and we were editing our new Working Genius report. And it was really funny. We all three share the genius of discernment. And we were editing it, and I noticed that Matt had very few changes. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. And I could have easily made a judgment about that. Like, oh, I wonder if he wasn't thorough. I wonder if he didn't work hard. But what I understand from Matt, he's a WD. And sometimes the process of editing looks very different for him versus Karen and I, who are DEs. We sort of want to land the plane. Matt has a hard time landing the plane. And I could have easily made a judgment about him, but I didn't.
That's
yeah, great. It was such an interesting exercise.
Hey, Matt's going to weigh in.
On my end of that, it's also, my frustrations are invention and tenacity. So not only am I not the one that's going to land the plane, I can identify a problem. I can say, oh, this needs to be edited, but I'm not going to be the one coming up with the solution that says, oh, this is the thing that's going to replace it. So whereas your piece of paper that you marked up has lines and things crossed out and suggestions on it, mine had a handful of stars and question marks. And that was because of my geniuses and because of what my frustrations are. That's like, obviously when we get into the conversation, I can provide more context than that. But on the paper, it just looks like I don't care.
Right. We actually had a fascinating conversation last week and this week about when we get into a room where we're just kind of like brainstorming about something that's not practical, Matt starts to check out. And I often look at him and go, are you tired? And he's like, no, I'm not tired at all. But whenever we do this, it's like my body says, go to sleep. You can't participate in this. Just check out. And now that we know that, and the thing to understand is WDs are so in their own head.
Yeah.
Wanderers are so in their own head that landing on a solution, they want to, it's really difficult to say, good enough, let's just move on. Their subtleties are there and they're thinking, well, that might not be the right thing. Let's wait until we know. Does that make sense, Matt? I want to make sure I'm being accurate.
Yeah, totally.
So now I have a son at home. It's the same type as Matt. And I said to him yesterday, I said, do you struggle also to actually come to a decision and decide that it's done? And he's like, are you kidding, Dad? That's painful for me. And yet it's so easy as a parent to go, just make a decision. Come on. You know, that's not going to be good for you in your life. It's like, maybe if I knew that that's how God wired him, I might be able to give him advice that he could actually receive and benefit from.
Yeah. You know what's fascinating about this is, in addition to this, how practical it is to understand other people, sort of assess how they show up, how they're wired in every circumstance, to, because we all walk into every scenario and want to use our geniuses. That's beautiful. And we should do that in the right context, in the right way. The other thing though, as you guys are saying this, is like, I sometimes use this very thing to help people understand me, like where I'm a discerner galvanizer, and my wife will very frequently will say, hey, do you know that not everyone wants to hear all of your opinions? And it's opinions on food or what's going on in the world or movies that I've seen, but I can't help, like the way I show up in those situations is discerning. I'm constantly curating and trying to figure out like, oh, this movie's good, or that place you should eat, or that place was really not good, and let me tell you about why. And so I go right into the galvanizing mode. And if only if I could wear a shirt that says I'm a DG, which maybe we should have some of those, we should print some of those up. And it says like, you know, I'm a pushy douchebag underneath it or something, that people, I want them to understand me. I know that there are times when I should dial back the galvanizing or even the discerning and say like, hey, now's not the time for you to, you know, critique something and then let everyone know what your critique is. But we all have this tendency to do that. And if we both can offer that sort of understanding to other people and be self-aware enough to realize like, boy, as much as I feel somewhat annoyed when a person uses that genius out of context, people feel that way about me.
You know, what's interesting? Last night, Laura, my wife, came into, I was exercising. She said, I think that my friends and I decided that people who have discernment can be judgmental. And of course, since I have discernment and she doesn't, I was like, hey. She goes, no. It's my friends that have discernment also. It's like, you're good at making judgments. It's like natural, like we assess things all the time. Mm-hmm. But what you do with that assessment is important. And at our worst, we can kind of declare things like, well, that's not the way it should be. Mm-hmm. And of course, it depends on what that other letter is. But I think this is a really interesting thing, is that as a D, I am judging everything. Every time a commercial comes on that I hate, my kids turn to me and go, we know you hate it, Dad. Because I'm like, this commercial drives me crazy, and here's why.
So my wife and I were just on vacation, which is why I missed the last podcast. And we were at a restaurant, a fantastic restaurant at this place in Washington. And it was so good, we went back the second day and I started reading the Yelp reviews of this restaurant. I was like, they didn't have enough. And I was like, why is it that they aren't getting as much publicity? And my wife is sitting right next to me and I'm like, we met the owner the night before. And I said, you know, I think they named the restaurant wrong. I think the name is sort of a misnomer and it gives it this other type of, and I was like, I'm going to tell her. And she's like, do not tell her that she named her restaurant wrong. But it was that discernment galvanizing that kicked in, that she literally had to say, hey, this is one of those times where you, not everybody needs to know, and you may not be right about this. I was pretty sure I was right, but you know, those, that's exactly the type of understanding. Otherwise my wife would be like, why do you do this all the time? She has handles on why I do this and can give me a little bit of grace around it.
Right. Right. Yesterday, Laura came in and I told her about a frustration I had, and she started wondering and inventing. And I literally said, I think I'm looking for a little enablement right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, tough, because I don't got that. but sometimes it gives you language so it doesn't sound like you're criticizing the person, but you're letting them know. Hey, we have another interesting thing going in our office right now. We have a guy that works here, Tim. He's a great guy. Great, wonderful human being. And he's in a transitional job because he's been in changing careers. And he's helping us out and doing a really good job, but it's not a job that fits his genius. And so we can say to him right in front of him now, this is definitely not the job for you. And and it's not because we think that he doesn't care. It's not that he's not smart. And it's not that he's lazy. It's just, it doesn't line up with what the gifts God gave him. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly saying, you understand why we say that. And he's like, oh yeah, if you tried to talk me into this job, that would be a disservice to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I honestly think before we understood working genius, I'd have been like, man, why can't he do this? It's like, because I'm not meant to do this job. So it's so important to empathize with people and help them rather than to judge them. And again, I want to say to everyone listening that I've ever judged because I didn't understand your working genius, I'm sorry.
There's some practical handles here for people, like when if I were to ask you the question, Pat, so what should a person do, whether it's at home or in the workplace, when they are feeling, you know, you said at the beginning, the fundamental attribution error makes us want to make an attribution about someone's character, about something that we find irritating, annoying, or unhelpful. What should a person do? Like, obviously, okay, take a breath and try to seek to understand, but put some handles on that.
Okay. So I have, my youngest son is a WE, wonder and enablement. It's a beautiful type. They're sensitive. They're kind. They like to help people. They sometimes don't take the initiative. They will not be pushy. And even when they ought to be pushing and take initiative and stand up for themselves, it's just not easy. So rather than saying what I used to say and what many parents do, like, you know, you need to learn how to be this, blah, 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 I can sit down with him and say, you're a wonderful person and you have this and this skill. And I totally understand that. And there's lots of great things about that. And it's going to serve you really well in life. I know other people that have the same type that you do, and it's tough for them to stand up for themselves and do this. And I know it's hard for you too. And I'm not asking you to become a different person. I love who you are. But if you could understand there are times in life when that might not serve you and it might benefit you to do something that's not natural to you, I would just like you to know, I would encourage you to do that. Now, that is so different than what I did for years, which would be, you know, you go to one son who lacks one thing and say, you need to be more like them. And then you go to your other son who lacks something else. You say, and you're only telling them what they're not good at. You don't understand why. And deep down inside, you think they're lazy or they don't care or they're not smart. And that's why we're doing another episode on this, because this is the difference between somebody feeling rejected and frustrated or being encouraged and enlightened.
Yeah.
So I would just say, now I would say too, do it for yourself first. You know, are there things about yourself that you're still judging that is not fair? Because when we're not fair to ourselves, it's really difficult to be fair to others. And so celebrate the things you're bad at by announcing it to others and admitting it. And that will probably make you a little better at those things when you have to do them.
Yeah. And it plays itself out on teams all the time. I think about I was actually just in the room with you guys about a month ago, the content team, you, Matt, Karen, and Tracy. And I remember we were starting to have a conversation about podcast topics and what we should do with this. And what we realized in that room was that you are really hoping for, after you've invented and discerned something, you really want someone to take that idea and galvanize the team around it. And that used to be some of my role when I was in that, when I was closer to you guys in that office. And what happened was we took our own medicine a little bit that day, and we're like, hey, why do we keep expecting each other to show up in a way that is not their God-given wiring? And it caused all this tension and frustration when we don't understand. And then as soon as, you know, I sort of in a moment there was like, well, let's use our own medicine, and sort of acted as an outsider consultant and said, hey, this is going to continue to happen when we don't have anyone. So Pat doesn't have galvanizing, Matt doesn't have it, no one in that room does. And we walked out of that room with a different set of expectations and way less frustration, because we were like, yeah, why do we keep, even though we live and breathe this stuff every day, we still have this natural desire to want people to be something they're not, or give us what we need on our terms. And if you can just walk into each of those relationships, both in your family and the ones on your team, to say, hey, here's what you're great at and what I can expect from you, and here's what I shouldn't expect from you, and not hold you accountable for, that would go the distance for that team. That's going to help day in and day out.
Yeah. I wish we could, you know, do something where people that take Working Genius had a little temporary tattoo on their forehead, that when you looked at their forehead, their Working Genius combo popped up. And that's what happens on teams when you know each other well enough to kind of take that in, it becomes natural. But so often there's somebody new that we're working with, or we don't know who they are. We've got to figure it out so that we're accurate and fair rather than judgmental and unfair.
Yep.
So we love hearing stories about this stuff, the Working Genius, and how it's changing people's lives at work, how it's making it more practical, making them feel better about their interactions with others. Cody, you have something else?
Well, the last thing I want to say is we're about 6 weeks out or 8 weeks out from the book launch. And what's been amazing is this is the community, the community who's experienced the tool first, that have taken the Working Genius assessment, that have been like the people who are sharing it with their friends. And so I just wanted to take a second to thank all the people who've listened to this podcast, like to see the listenership grow as this tool affects more and more lives. That's been really, really such a gift to us. And like you said, the stories are amazing. But I'd also really love, it always feels weird because we are not salesy people at all. But if there's any, you know, like we rarely ask for things on this podcast. The one thing we'd love in this season is for each of you to go out and pre-order the book, the Six Types of Working Genius. There is so much goodness in that story that Pat, that you wrote. Tracy works super hard to edit it. We feel like our team that doesn't have any tea pushed it over through the finish line. And we'd love for people to enjoy that. It would mean a great deal to us if people went out and actually pre-ordered that and they'll receive it the day it comes out. And we'll do a launch event, which you can register for on our site next week. So we'd love for that to happen. I just wanted to take a minute to end the podcast with that, Pat.
Very nice, Cody. I'm glad you did that, because I can't. But that would be fabulous if people want to do that. All right. Thanks for listening. We just get more excited about Working Genius every day. The stories you send us are the best part of that. And we love talking to you about Working Genius. So we'll look forward to talking to you next time on the Working Genius podcast. God bless.